Lord, we thank you and we bless you, Lord. So you're not hiding from us, Lord. You're just a breath away. You're just a thought away. You're just a declaration away, Lord. You said, seek and you shall find. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and that door shall be made open to us, Lord. You said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And everything we're looking for will be added unto us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to guess. Because your word says, before we call, you will answer. And while we're yet speaking, you will hear. Say that your prayer, your ears are open to the prayers of the righteous, Lord. So we don't have to guess if our prayers are bouncing off the ceiling, Lord. We know we have a true and living God. His thoughts, your thoughts toward us are more than the sand on the sea. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. You said we are a special treasure. Heirs with the Father, joint heirs with the Son. We are royalty. We are one. And we thank you, Lord, and we bless you. We ask now that you speak to us through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate daily through a dark, fallen, broken, dying, and decaying world. Give us discernment. Give us clarity, Lord. Give us peace in the midst of confusion. Give us strength in the midst of weakness. Give us hope in the midst of depression. Through your word and through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, we need you more today than ever. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We bless you. Holy Spirit, continue to rule and reign from the worship to the word. Heal, deliver, set free this morning, Lord. And we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to Numbers chapter 14 as we're continuing our message in the wilderness, the five things that kept the children of Israel in the wilderness, and they never made it to where God wanted them to go. The promise, the blessed land, the land flowing with milk and honey, they never made it there. Or millions didn't make it there, I should say. Some did, but those that didn't trust God completely, they didn't make it. Five things that kept them were number five, which is complaining. It's hard to believe that complaining can keep you stuck where you are and you never make it to where God wants you to go. It's not the problem of you complaining. It's just that you're not going to get to where God wants you to go. Somebody mentioned to me, said, Pastor, you haven't told the congregation that you love them in a long time. Okay, so let's keep moving on. So I love you all, South Bay. I love you all. All right? I love you all. Somebody said, Pastor, you ain't said in a long. I love you all. Okay? So I want you to. So I'm not. Maybe I should tell y'all that often during this message, okay? It's not a tough message, but remember, it does. It does require a high level of Christian maturity when you're in the wilderness. And to trust God. Remember, if you don't trust God with everything, you will complain about anything. When you tell God, or when you complain, you tell God, I don't really trust you and that my way is better than your way. And you're not taking notes. Remember, I have notes on my notes, so we all take notes in here. So I would recommend it. God gave me a lot of, revelations or just as I was reading this. And so I'll be sharing those with you. And you want to write them down and then meditate on them. Meditate on the word. If you have any questions, let me know. But it's, I think, some really powerful stuff. I got to read this because that's, want to give it to you just the way God gave it to me. And so we're in 14:1. Make a note, we're talking about group dynamics in the wilderness. As I was studying this, it was it's a lot of voices that go on in the wilderness. It's a lot of people saying a lot of things as we're going through the world, as we call it. We know this world is our wilderness. It's our journey. It's a lot of voices, and you have to stay close to God so you can hear what God is telling you, so you don't try and go back to where you were. Especially if God is not telling you to go back there, and if it's not the time to go back there, or if it's something you just completely shouldn't do. But if you listen to the wrong voice, you'll be somewhere where God isn't. You never want to be anywhere where God isn't. Somebody say amen. So we look at 14 and 1, and you underline, you should have it. All the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. So we have the congregation speaking. The congregation pretty much didn't believe what God said. So you can expect sleepless nights and worry when you choose to listen to the wrong voice. Let me say that again. Instead of listening to God, look at if we go back up in verse 30, 13 and 30. Caleb stilled the people. Caleb chilled the people out. And said, so make a note that Caleb is speaking. So in the wilderness, you got Caleb speaking. And he said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. So the Lord's speaking through Caleb saying, look, whatever you're going through, family, stay close to God. Stay with God. You can overcome it. But then look at verse 31. Then you got the men. So you got two voices. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than us. So here you are. You got group dynamics in the wilderness. You got Caleb speaking the voice of God. You got other men speaking. And those are two contrary things. And we're in the middle of two contrary voices right now. We have to try and determine which one is the voice of God. So we pick it up at 14 in the congregation. They choose to listen to the men who went up as opposed to Caleb who went up. And so they listen to the men. So they start crying and they're weeping all night, which is what happened. And then verse 2, which is what happens when you listen to the wrong voice. And all the children of Israel murmured. Here we go, verse 2. And now you got the congregation, you got the children of Israel. They're speaking, but they're murmuring, they're complaining against Moses and against Aaron. And we made the distinction. And remember that your problem is not with people. Your problem is with God. So they're looking at they're looking at people and complaining as opposed to trusting in God with everything. They're listening to people and complaining about a bunch of stuff. I translated verse 2 as well. I'll read it first and I'll read the translation. All the children of Israel murmured against Moses, against God, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? So what they're really saying, God, you should have given us a choice of whether we want to die in Egypt or whether we want to die in the wilderness. And if you would have given us a choice, we would have chose to die in Egypt. And then it's what they say in verse 3. And wherefore had the Lord brought us into this land? Really, God brought you to this land to fall by the sword. And remember, this is the men talking, men, because it's saying that our wives and our children. So here the men, they're having their conversation within themselves. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? So they decide, okay, we need to go back to Egypt. We need to go back to the stuff that God delivered us from. Brother Jerry and I, we kind of talked via text this week. And something that was said last week, we can go forward in faith or we can go backwards in bondage. There's two choices we have. You can walk forward in faith, trusting God, or you can go back to the stuff that God delivered you from and that you were praying to get out of. But because you're listening to the wrong voice in the wilderness, you think the stuff that you left, that you were into, that was not even close to being good for you, is better than where God is taking you. And that's what happens when you don't listen to the word of God. You don't hear the right voices. Very important that we surround ourselves with like-minded people. So when I'm going through something, I can call somebody who's going to help me discern which voice is the correct voice to listen to. You never want to go through it alone. It's the importance of a church family. You never, a good church family, somebody say amen. There's just too much going on for you to try and navigate by yourself, you and I to try and navigate by ourselves. And then they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt, which I find that hard to believe. They would say, we need to get rid of Moses. We need to get rid of Aaron. We need to get rid of God, and we need to go back to where we came from. There's some spiritual war, serious spiritual warfare going on that they're going to elect a captain. And so here we pick it up this week and look at the response of Moses and Aaron in verse 5. Moses and Aaron fall on their face and start interceding for the people. People are complaining, and this is what the people should have did anyway. When they were having trouble with Moses and when they're having trouble with Aaron, the people should have started praying to God. God, show me what's going on. So here is Moses and Aaron. They're modeling for the people what should have been done. All right. Y'all thought y'all was getting away. I'm coming back here, too. Amen. When things aren't going right, when things are getting tough, what you do, you just get on your face and you go to God. God, I need some help. And you start praying. You don't start complaining about people. You got to go to the only one who has all the answers, which is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So they modeled before the people. They got down on their face and started praying for the people. Not complaining about the people. The same people who was talking bad about them. And remember, they wanted to kill Moses. Yeah. Right? So the same people that talk bad about us, same people that put us down. And we're going to read in just a minute, they're going to want to stone them. After this great sermon that, who is it? I think it's Joshua and Caleb getting ready to give a great sermon. And they say, well, let's kill them. After the great sermon. I hope y'all never do that to me, but that's what was going down here. But they prayed for them. I wish I could tell you that you can hate your enemies. I wish I could tell you never speak to them again. I wish I could tell you don't talk to them again. But I can tell you got to pray for them. Got to love them unconditionally. If you're a child of God, because I have in my notes to go to Romans 5 and 8. You say you don't know what they did to me. Go to Darius, take us to Romans 5. Actually, take us to Romans 5 and 6. So in case you're saying, well, Pastor, you don't know what they did to me and how they hurt me. I get that because we've all been there and we all have to deal with it. And then Romans 5 and 6, we're going to do 7 and 8. For when we were yet without strength, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. So when we were telling God, I hate you, I don't care about you, I'm going to do my own thing, God says, I'm still going to die for you, because there's going to come a point when you're going to want to get back home, and Jesus Christ is the way back home. So while we didn't care about God, he died for us. So God is saying, you got to pray for your enemies. And pray, what he say, love your enemies, pray for those that despitefully use and persecute you. And you can say, God, you don't know what they've done. But God says, do you realize what you did when I died for you? So all of a sudden you get a burst of righteousness and you forget. Oh, and memory loss. And you forget how you were living before you were saved. So you can't pray for anybody who's done you wrong. That's not scripture. Let's go. What does 7 say, Darius? For scarcely will for a righteous man will one die, and perhaps for a good man some might even dare to die. Take us to 8. I love this. My favorite scripture. One of my favorites. But God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Didn't care about God. And God said, you know what? I'm going to die for them, because they need to be rescued and saved. So when we would come to our senses, we have a way to get back to God. If Christ didn't die for us and we had some kind of way, say, I need some help and I want to return to God, we would have no way. So God couldn't wait for us to get it together. He had to send Christ to die for us while we were yet sinners. And so I would like to tell people, you know what? I know what they did to you. Don't forgive them. Hate them for the rest of your life. But then that goes contrary to scripture, where God says, why you didn't care about me, I sent my son to die for you. And husbands, I wish I could let you off the hook. And you always want to tell your wives to submit to you, but the word tells us that we're to love our wives like Christ loved the church. And if Christ died for the church when they were sinners and ungodly, then we have to die so that our marriage relationship can live. And you can't say, well, she's not doing this. She's not. It doesn't matter, because we weren't doing any of that when Christ died for us. So it's never, ever about her. It's always about you and God. Husbands, I'm not going to let you off the hook. You can't tell me. I mean, that's what the scripture says. If God says, love your wife like Christ loved the church, and you have to give everything for it so that your marriage can live. And if you're not at that stage, if you're at that stage, we can talk, and you're there. If you're not married and you're not at that stage, then you shouldn't get married. All the married men said, y'all don't want to talk to me today. I got y'all. So it's a sacrifice. Let's go back to Numbers 14 and 5. So you see, Moses and Aaron make the sacrifice. They pray for the people that don't even care about them, because that's what Christ did. And since we have Christ in our heart, that's what we have to do. Amen. Never does pastor advocate being a doormat. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying you got to get in your quiet time and you got to pray. Okay, I've got some read this. Here we go, Kathy. So let me read it so I can make it as plain as I can. Moses and Aaron interceded for the people that talked about them. This is what the entire congregation should have done. Instead of complaining about people, fall on your face and trust God. Instead of talking about the people on your job, fall on your face and trust God. Instead of complaining about your spouse, fall on your face and trust God. Instead of complaining about your children, fall on your face and trust God. Moses and Aaron fell on their face in the front of the congregation. Have your coworkers ever seen you pray over your food in the lunchroom right before you talk about the boss? I'm going to add that in there. And remember, your problem is not with people. Your problem is that you don't trust God. You're giving other people too much control over you. Other people are taking up too much space in your head. That's what it says. Trust God with the details and fall on your face. Humble yourself and pray, petition, and beg God for a change. Look at verse 6. I love this. Look what happens. Look at the group dynamics. Look at the power of prayer. While Moses and Aaron are interceding in prayer, God speaks through Joshua and Caleb. While you're praying for someone, God is sending someone their way that's going to speak to them. They're going to say the same thing you can say, but they're not going to be able to shut them out, because they want to shut you out because you're too close to them. Let me say it again. While you're praying and interceding for someone, God's going to send a laborer into their life to speak to them. Make a note of that. And when you trust God, then you pray, you intercede, and you let God work out the details. Verse 6. They're praying. Moses and Aaron are interceding. Verse 6. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, tore their clothes. So they tear their clothes in a sign of humility. And what it is, an outward demonstration of an inward change. When they tore their clothes, humility, fasting, praying, they surrendered it all. And they spoke, underlined in verse 7. Now Joshua and Caleb are speaking. We got Caleb who spoke before. We got the men speaking. We got the congregation speaking. Now we have Joshua and Caleb speaking. A lot of voices. There's a lot going on, family, in the wilderness. There's a lot going on in my life. There's a lot going on in your life. There's a lot of people speaking. And you got to discern which is the voice of God so you get to the place that God has for you to go. And our youth, you know how tough it is. You got the social media speaking. You got the regular mainstream media speaking. You got your friends at school speaking. You got your parents speaking. You're at church, you got your pastor speaking. You got the word speaking. And you got to try and navigate through that. Our young adults, y'all got to navigate it through. Y'all got all this kind of stuff speaking. Everybody's speaking. You got a rally here and a rally there. And no one's going to a revival over here or a revival there. We just can't run to the rally without going to the revival. Because you gotta hear the voices. Because you can't stop hearing them. You got to hear them. Then you have to discern which is coming from God and which is coming from Satan. Remember, people come into your life for two reasons. To move you closer to God or to take you further away from God. And that's it. The last person that came into your life, you got to ask yourself, were they pushing me closer to God or pulling me further away from God? You have to ask yourself that. It's a tough question, but you got to ask yourself if you're trying to get to where God wants you to go. All right, verse 7. And they spoke unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it, it is an exceeding good land. Here's Joshua and Caleb speaking. Verse 8. If, underline if, because the if is always on us. The two words that would change, the two letters that would change your life, IF. If, it's always a condition. If the Lord delight in us, in other words, if we do the right thing, if we live right, if we do our best to live right, if we trust him, if we depend on him, if we commit to him, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give us a land which flows with milk and honey. Jesus promised us life in that more abundantly, a complete blessed life. Rest in him, peace in him. As we go through stuff, but we have the rest and a complete life in Christ. But if we trust him and live according to his word. The other option is I do my own thing and I'll work it out and see what happens. You don't have to guess at what happens. We had our purpose and purity class with the youth this morning. I was trying to explain to them how the word says that when you accept Christ into your heart, you get stamped with the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's your authentication code. Amen. So the youth were saying, but what if I still go out and mess up? Well, you can still go out and mess up. It doesn't mean you're not saved. It just means you can make a mess of your life. Mm-hmm. And you'll still be saved. Because if you sincerely accepted Christ, you got stamped. And it tells us that in Ephesians chapter 2, you've been sealed. I'm sorry, 1 and 13 in Ephesians, you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. When you look up the word sealed, you've been marked. It's authentication code. It's your ID into heaven, right? So when God looks at your heart, he sees his tattoo. It's like a tattoo. It's like a stamp that the Holy Spirit puts on our heart. So I was trying to tell them it's not based on what you do because you can't earn it. You have to receive the free gift. And then God stamps that heart. Sister Pat, you die. He sees your authentication code, your ID. I'll get on up here. If he doesn't see it, then he's like, oh, that's not mine. I'll see you later. And that's it. And that's what saves you. And that's what the Holy Spirit does it. Right? And you get your authentication code. That's what it means when you get stamped. And it's not based on what we do. But I told him, yeah, you go out there and you can go in and out of jail. And you can do drugs and you can have... I told him this, you can have 50 babies by 50 different guys if you want to. And God's going to say, that's mine, but that's a mess. I don't know what you did. I mean, you're still authenticated, but you got a big mess to clean up. I can help you with it. It didn't have to be this way. But it's not based on what we do. But because we are saved, it also told them that God has already prepared, ordained in advance for them a plan for their life. So they don't even have to try and figure it out. Just walk with God. The plan has already been ordained in advance. Oh, that was so good. Oh, that was so good. And then they asked me, do we have to follow? You don't have to follow the plan. You can do whatever you want to do because it's a gift. All you have to do is accept it. Trust God with it. But either way, we're teaching our youth that, you know what? You got a choice. And God has already ordained something beautiful for your life. But look, family, I can't trust God for you and you can't trust God for me. You have Christ in your heart. You've been authenticated. You got your ID. And that's what allows you to be saved. That ID, which we call the Holy Spirit. They told me they couldn't get into their school without an ID. See, it makes sense. The world gets the idea. You try and get through that gate at Long Beach Poly without your ID, they send you home. You got to go get you. You can't get in here. You don't have an ID. So you think you're just going to charge up in heaven without your authentication ID code? You're not. God going to say, where your ID? Let me look in your heart. Ain't there? You never accept Christ. I can't let you. I would love to. But you told me no. You told me no. So guess what? You got to go. That's not on God. That's on us for not accepting the free gift. So here we go. That's what Joshua's telling them. And look at verse 8 again. He said, man, if we just do what God tells us to do, if we follow God's plan, look, he's speaking to him and he's trying his best. It's a voice, always the voice of God in your life. In the midst of everything, it's always the voice of God in our life. But look what he says, only rebel not against the Lord. It's not about people, it's about you rebelling against God. Get people out of the equation. My problem is never with anybody. My problem is always when this is right with God, I have no problem. I told y'all before, I have no problem with nobody. But when this is not right, my wife gets on my nerves. Not my kids. Jalen gets some. Jalen's side. Who's here? Jamaican Jalen. Oh, Jalen gets not y'all. Y'all always. I love y'all. But when this Jalen gets on my nerves, since he's not here, I'm going to talk about him. All right. The congregation gets on my nerve when I'm. It's not y'all. It's because, Pastor, you forgot. You forgot what your mission was. The people on my job, I don't want to see them. I don't want to deal with them. Why? Because I forgot what my mission was with God. That's what he's saying. You stop rebelling against God. It's not people. It's not society. I got a bunch of read this, and I'm going to read it, too, because I want to give it to you just like God gave it to me. But look what he's saying. He said, verse 8, here's the steps. He said, don't rebel against the Lord. Don't fear the people of the land. Okay? Stop being afraid of people. Stop being intimidated. You're intimidated by people. Why? Because you don't trust God. You're rebelling against God because you don't trust him. And then you're afraid of the people because you don't trust God. He said, for they're like bread, man. They're just a meal to us. Their protection is departed from them and the Lord is with us. So stop being afraid. Oh, my gosh. Okay, here we go. Verse 6, read this, all right? It does say read this. Joshua and Caleb searched the land, humbled themselves, tore their clothes, and surrendered their hearts to God to demonstrate that they are not the ones complaining. They distinguished themselves from the crowd by submitting, humbling, and acknowledging that their trust is in God. Their torn clothes were an outward showing of an inward change and surrendering. Torn clothes mean a broken and contrite heart. Here's a revelation. When you trust God, you humble yourself and surrender your heart and allow God to work out the details, regardless of how things might look. Let me say it again. When you trust God, you humble yourself and surrender your heart and allow God to work out the details, regardless of how things may look. Moses and Aaron are praying. Joshua and Caleb are speaking. While you're praying, God is sending somebody to speak to that person. Stop worrying about it. Pray more and complain less. Here's our response. Humble yourselves, pray, tear your clothes as a sign of humility. Don't tear up your clothes. I mean, you know what I mean. So it's a symbol, it's a sign of humility. Speak the word of God. Stand on the word of God. Trust the word of God. To your situation now, speak the word of God, stand on the word of God, and trust the word of God. Remind your family of what the word of God says. Remind your spouse, remind your children of what the word of God says. Pray for your, I got this written down, pray for your spouse, pray for your siblings. Intercede for your family, your boss, your kids, your parents. While you and I are praying, God will send, raise up, laborers to speak on his behalf and say what we would say while we're praying. It's a huge dynamic that's going on. All right, let me finish this up. All right. Okay, I'm going to try and finish this up. Amen. Verse 7, the grace of God shows up and we have to intercede for those who want to get rid of us and may want to even kill us. We have to stand in the gap, Brother Jerry, for them and intercede for them. Why? As we already found out, because Christ sweat the same thing that Jesus Christ did for us while we were yet sinners. Verse 8, Joshua and Caleb reminded the children of God that the if is on us. If we do what we're supposed to do, if we are obedient to the word and the voice of God, then God will be with us and bless us, period. That's it. That's it. Here's a revelation. So it's really about our relationship with God and not what we see and not what people are doing. Let me say it again. So it's really about our relationship with God and not what we see and what other people are doing. The if is on us. Stop complaining about everything and trust God with all things. When we continue to complain, here we go. I like this one right here. When we continue to complain, we are moonwalking in the wilderness. It says we look good, but in reality, we're moving backwards because we can continue to complain and not trust God. Here's another illustration for you all. We are driving a nice looking car. Ooh, shucks. Uh-oh. All right. Did I say I love y'all today? I did say that? Okay. I love y'all. All right. Here we go. I'm going to say it anyway. We are driving a nice looking car, but when you lift up the hood, Satan is powering the engine. Oh, it looks so good on the outside. But when you lift up the hood, Satan's power in the engine because we complain about everything. As we are driving, so to speak, through the wilderness, don't be impressed by what you see because you don't know who's powering the engine. People come into your life. Don't be impressed by what you see because you don't know who's powering the engine. And it looks good, but actually that moonwalk, it looked real cool, but they were going backwards. All right, so here we go. All right, let me say it now. I love y'all, and we're going to get deep. We're going, as Bishop Armour would say, we're going to the deep end of the pool for us swimmers. We're not in 2 feet. We're getting ready to go in 12, 15. We're going to Exposition Park. Those of us who grew up in L.A., that went up to 17 feet. I was like, hey, you jump in 17 feet, you better know how to swim. When we complain, we rebel. Stop rebelling against God and stop being afraid and intimidated by people. And know that the Lord is with you and I. Here's a revelation. Fear, intimidation, lack of trust are the root of our complaining. Somebody make a note of that. Your fear, your intimidation, your lack of trust are the root of our complaining. And all the other isms that's out there. Think about this. Last time you complained, ask yourself, what was I afraid of? Oh, come on now. Y'all get this. The last time you complained, ask yourself, what was I afraid of? Who was I intimidated by? And why didn't I trust God in a situation? The last time you complain on your job, at your home, in your family, with your spouse, ask, what was I afraid of? Who was I intimidated by? And why didn't I trust God in the situation before I opened my mouth and went off? Oh, I'm getting, we just getting warmed up. And then we're going to get out of here. It takes real courage to ask these questions. This is based on, in case you need the scripture reference, this is based on verse 9. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear, there's the fear, the people intimidated, for they are bread for us and their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Why didn't you trust God and fear them not? What are you afraid of? Stop being so afraid and start trusting God. Okay, here we go. Let me finish. It takes real courage to ask these questions in the midst of your situation. Somebody say amen. It sounds good on Sunday morning. Y'all know the easiest time to serve God is Sunday morning between 9 and 10:30. Somebody say amen. But when you're going through, and you pause and you ask yourself the questions in the midst of your situation, we got to stop complaining and start trusting. Oh, shucks, here we go. Family, we have to stop using our color, our condition, and our confusion as a reason for complaining. Why, Pastor? Here you go. Satan isn't concerned about your color or your gender or your race or your culture or your sexual preference or your age. He could care less. Satan is concerned with keeping you confused and complaining about everything so he can snatch the only thing that matters, which is your soul. Let me say it again. I told you we're going to go to the deep end of the pool. Remember, we started, it has to be a high level of Christian maturity. Satan isn't concerned about your color, your gender, or your race, or culture, or sexual preference. He could care less about that stuff. Do whatever you want to do. He's only concerned about keeping you confused and complaining about everything so he can snatch the only thing that matters, which is your soul. Satan doesn't matter if you and I have dark skin. He wants to keep our soul in darkness. It's only darkness he cares about. The only darkness that's the only darkness he cares about. Remember, it's not a skin condition, it's a sin condition. It's not. And we walk around complaining about all this, and Satan is going, I got him. Let him keep complaining, let him stay confused, and let him die. With no authentication code, and they're going to be right there with me. And we think it's about all these oppressive systems that Satan, remember, the word says that Satan is the god of this world. So all these oppressive systems that set up is set up by him to keep us complaining and confused. And then we die with no authentication code, no Holy Spirit. And it keeps us, instead of ministering to those on our job, we talk about them and complain about them. Then God sent us, we read it last week. He said, go and make disciples. Okay, I'm finishing up. Okay, yes, the world is a mess. Somebody say amen. Amen. But it's under influence of Satan. What do you expect? Who's trying to keep our souls in darkness? We must trust God in everything and make disciples of people. Based on verse 9, here's what we should be doing. Number one, we got to stop rebelling and complaining. Number two, stop being afraid of people, regardless of their skin color or their background or what they look like or what their preference might be. Stop being intimidated by people. That's number two. And then three, recognize, trust, and know and believe that God is with us. God is with you and I, family. And then number four, stop being afraid of what might happen. But what if? Stop being afraid of what might happen. And trust God with the details. I love this stuff. I love this. Amen. Because look at verse 10. After this great sermon, but all the congregation said, they bade him. Bade. What does bade mean? They said in their heart and their mind. But after that great sermon by Joshua and Caleb, all the congregation bade them with stones. Said, you know what? We need to kill these dudes. Had them preached his heart out. Folks ain't trying to hear that. Folks don't want to change. They done preached their heart out. Let's go save the world. Let's go get saved. Let's keep living this family. Y'all walk out here and go, we need to get rid of that pastor. We got to get rid of that. we tired. We ain't nobody trying to hear that. Look at verse 10. But the congregation bathed them with stones, and the glory of the they said, let's kill them with stones. Then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And then in verse 11, we had all these voices. Then verse 11, guess who speaks? God speaks. And that's where we're going to pick it up next time. Oh. And you know that God has the final word. So after all this, then God, I can't wait to hear what God has to. But Sister Kathy, we got to, and then you have to just send a link to your granddaughter and great grand so they can listen to it when we put it online. Amen. Because you don't want to miss what God has to say. Let's pray our way out of here and dismiss in just a minute. isn't it something how we'll get so distracted that we'll complain about everything and miss what God has for us? This whole system is set up to keep us confused and complaining. And if you don't, and just evaluate your day today. When you leave here, evaluate your week. And just see how the system is set up. Somebody's going to get on your nerves. Somebody going to say something. Somebody going to do something. And you got to kind of catch yourself and go, wow. This system is set up for me to complain and stay confused, as opposed to praying and trusting God. I'm telling you, family, all this other stuff is what we call it, a distraction and subtraction from our purpose in God, which is to make disciples and let others know they need to get saved. It's so much going on. I can't even get into all the things. I don't even like to watch. I listen to it, but just listen to it for 5 minutes. I can't believe some of the stuff that's going on in this world today. God, and it's set up by design. They call the world in the Bible, the Greek, is an orderly system of deception. Oh, it looks like it's a mess, but it's strategically ordered by Satan to keep us deceived. God, help us. So let's just pray. Lord, we want to accept the challenge not to complain, but to pray and trust you. God, help us. We're trying to get there. We love you, Lord, but we're having trouble trusting you, because our flesh is telling us and it's telling us that we got to take over. We got to do something. So, God, give us the wisdom to know what to do, what to say, what not to do, what not to say. Because your word says you have an abundant life plan. You have a complete life plan for us. They were trying to get to a promised land. We're trying to get to all the promises you have for us now. And we don't want to get distracted and in the wilderness and miss what you have for us. So, God, forgive us of our sins that we committed knowingly, unknowingly, tried to pretend didn't happen, tried to cover up, Lord, tried to shrug off, Lord. But we come clean, God. We need help. We need help trusting you. So we accept the challenge to live at a high level of Christian maturity. And we might even be hating right now or have something against God, we got to turn them over to you. We got to trust you with the details. We'll pray for them. God, you take over, send somebody into their life to minister unto them, Lord. But don't let me be in bondage of hate, of hating someone. Because, God, when I was jacked up, you loved me so much that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die for me. None of us arrived where we are now. It was a process, Lord. So help us to forgive others, because it's what your word says. So we thank you and we bless you, Lord. Give us the strength and the courage to live by your word. And Lord, we just want to pray. Maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I have that authentication code. I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. I don't know if I'm saved. You don't have to guess. You can be sure once you leave here. If that's you and you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, elevate your hand. We'd love to pray for you. I'd love to pray for you. You don't have to guess. God is with you. God is rooting for you. God loves you. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life. I've kind of been in that wilderness. I've been complaining. I've been getting caught up in all kind of isms and other kind of stuff. And I haven't been trusting God, and people are getting on my nerves. And God, I really need to get back focused on praying to God and trusting God. If that's you, you don't have to raise your hand. That's a rededication between you and God. That's a heart-to-heart rededication. So you just ask God, your word says if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So God, forgive me for being distant to you and blaming people. Lord, people aren't my problem. My problem is I've been distant from you. So God, help me to get reconnected to you and continue to walk with you through the struggles, through the doubt, through the fear, through the confusion, through the highs and the lows, Lord, let me just walk with you. I know you'll guide me. So I rededicate my life to you today. Maybe here you say, Pastor, I've been visiting, but I haven't made it official. I've been looking for a place to call home, to fellowship with the family, and I'd like to join South Bay Abundant Life. Today, it's not about joining South Bay. It's about you need to be at a church. You need to be somewhere where people are loving you and fellowshipping and you're accountable. Yes, so if you're here and say, Pastor, I'd like to unite with South Bay Abundant Life Church, elevate your hand. I'd love to be your pastor. We'd love to be your family. We're not just members. We're actually family. And I'm just so thankful that you would even visit and then consider to join. So, Lord, we thank you and we bless you. And I'm going to ask my sister Tanya to come up. I did see your hand, Tanya. And wow. And just stand right here, Tanya. And I'm going to ask some of my ladies. You know how we do it, ladies. No one has to be here alone. Will you all come up and surround our sister? She come up to join with South Bay Abundant Life Church. So thankful that God led her and her daughter Mia here. And so just like now, Tanya, as we surround you, lay hands just on her shoulders. And just like now we surround you, we just want you to feel the love of God through us. And just know as you walk on this journey that you're not alone, but you have people that are praying for you, people that love you, people that care for you, people that are here for you. We'll pray for you and we won't play for you, play with you. We'll lay a hand in your back, but we won't stab you in the back. We'll walk with you and we'll cover you. We'll pray that God will continue to bless you and your life. And as you move forward in Christ, God, show her the plan and the purpose, direction you have for her life, and let us play some small part in just being part of her church family, Lord, to journey with her. What a blessing that none of us have to walk this journey alone. It's a tough journey, Lord, but we thank you for South Bay Abundant Life Church. We don't have to walk alone, and Tanya doesn't have to walk alone. She got a church family now that's praying, loving, caring, and will always be there with her. We thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for all the prayers that were spoken and unspoken. Unspoken, Lord, we thank you just for being with us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for challenging us, not just to be the same, but take it up a notch. Start praying and really be serious about praying for those who don't even mean you any good. Definitely pray for those that you love, but pray for the ones who don't even mean you any good and who would want to stone you like they did Joshua and Caleb, God. And then watch God show up. It said the glory of God showed up. Lord, we pray the glory of God would show up in Tanya's life. The glory of God would show up in our life. At our toughest moment, when it looks like the people are going to stone us and it's all falling apart, then the glory of God shows up. Allow the glory of God, the glory of God to show up in all of our lives right on time, Lord, as we walk with you and trust you. Help us to trust you more, Lord. It's a tough journey. And giving you 100%. It's tough, Lord. But that's our goal, to trust you 100% and let you work out the details. We love you, Lord, and we bless you, and we thank you for this great day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. God bless you. Love you. Thank you. Stand to your feet, family. Just lift your hands, and Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life, and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give somebody a hug, and you are dismissed.
What happened to